Welcome to Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have 1 hour.
If they choose to accept it.
To turn a humble idea, and in this case, a not so humble idea, maybe the most commercial idea of all time, into perhaps the greatest movie of all time. I am your host, lead singer of Limp Bizkit, Freddie Wong.
I'm Special Agent Will Campos, recently disavowed from Story Break, but I've gone rogue and I've broken back into the studio for one last job to clear my name. I'm a screenwriter.
I'm Matt Arnold, and first and foremost, I do my own motherfucking stunts. And when I'm not doing that, I'm a writer and director second. Guys, what are we doing today?
Come on.
This one was sent in.
That's it. We're not explaining what the movie.
This one was sent. This very good idea was brought to you by Wesley Regan in an iTunes review.
Hey, thank you, Wesley.
And by the way, that proves that we read them shits. Because we're getting this idea straight from that drip feed, that confidence boosting feed of iTunes reviews. Wesley Regan suggested that we do Mission Impossible 2,
oh,
the sequel
so
to Mission Impossible.
The sequel
2.
To the best Mission Impossible, bar none, the best Mission Impossible movie. The one with the motorcycles, the one with the doves, the one with the love story, the one with the most fucking kick-ass ending of any Mission Impossible movie.
Some of you listening are probably like, haha, this is funny. This is a good
one. Ironic fun goof.
Can't wait till they change it up. It's like, we're deadly fucking serious.
We are very fucking serious about how much we love Mission Impossible.
Here's the thing. This is not... We like Mission Impossible 4 and 5 also. Yeah. So I feel like this is like an Ender's Game type thing where it's more like the franchise splits off into two equally good series. For about two books, and they both get really weird. But like, Ender's Game split off. So we're doing Mission Impossible 2, too. Not to take away from... You know,
the fine work.
By the way, I said 4 and 5, and even
this is like,
three.
You know what's, but there's kind of precedent for this because there was like when Neil Blomkamp was like, no, I'm doing Aliens 2. Like, remember, like, Neil Blomkamp was like, fuck the other Aliens movies, I'm gonna do a sequel to Aliens.
Yeah,
like, and I'm like, that's a bold move. Like, that's a bold, or like the new Halloween movie, right? Like, the new Halloween movie is like a sequel to the first Halloween that ignores the other Halloween movies.
Yeah, so this makes perfect sense.
You know, people have really gotten, for everyone says that Mission Impossible 2 was the peak of the series, and then they got weird and boring after that. So we're taking it back to its Mission Impossible 2 roots, and we're gonna do the sequel fans never got.
You wanna? Should we? Start the clock, and then maybe I'll talk about what we most love about Mission Impossible.
Yeah,
2.
I was gonna say we should all go around and say what we love about
right?
this movie.
Okay, all right, let's go around and share our fondest Mission Impossible 2 memories. Matt, you go ahead and start as I start.
I'm starting.
Clock.
Oh, that's a lot. I mean, I think the thing I like most about Mission Impossible 2 is that it's fucking romantic. It's a romantic ass movie. None
it's
of the other Mission Impossible
movie.
It's a sexy movie. Look, Rebecca Ferguson in 5 is fantastic, but like they still like that doesn't feel like a sexy relationship. Like, this is a real romantic.
Yeah, it's like
to
the point
where even the good guy and the bad guy feel romantic.
Oh,
when
man.
When they're on their stallion motorcycles charging at each other, the sexual atmosphere. It's just a sexy movie. It's big and dramatic, and the emotions are there. A lot of people think that shit's cheesy, but know what? Hell nah. That shit's good as hell. So
Matt's there. By the way, you can tell this one's going to be a good podcast because Matt went straight to his thirstiness.
Matt's already
baby.
Horny for this one.
Matt's
already
H for this one, boyos. What is my favorite thing about Mission Impossible 2? You know, I'll say this. I think I love Mission Impossible 2 because the action actually is thrilling and action-packed and amazing. Like, so, for example, motorcycle chasing at the end, where it has different phases of a motorcycle chasing. It has
movements, if you will.
Yeah. Like a fucking symphony. Like a goddamn Beethoven. There's different
like
tones.
A gosh darn Beethoven.
Tom Cruise doing a stoppie and then whipping around and doing and shooting the car and making it flip. Like, this is the kind of, like, it got so sterile after this. The end of Mission Impossible 3 is just Tom Cruise running fast through Southeast Asia. Like, that's the best that they could come up with. Like, the end of Mission Impossible 2, there's mask changes, there's action, there's diving around, and it actually makes me feel, here's what it is, it's a romanticized, I'll put it this way, it's a romanticized fun version of the spy genre, which I will say that Mission Impossible finally kind of got to, which was how Mission Impossible to me always distinguished itself from the Bond series, is that, like, it's like a more fun, less serious James Bond, but at the same time, it's still a little bit serious, whereas Mission Impossible 2 is just like, no, this is fun, this is over the top, this is ridiculous, and this is why I love it. Will.
Oh, boy. I get to go third, so I get to say, like, all the stuff you guys forgot to talk about.
I mean, there's so much. I mean, I could do, we could do a whole miniseries of podcasts about this movie.
I respect the shit out of this move, fact that this movie, first of all, screenplay by Robert Town of Chinatown. Robert Town. Wait, did he write?
I believe it is, because we were looking this up. That's like,
yeah, he wrote Chinatown. It's the guy who wrote freaking Chinatown wrote this movie. That's like, Chinatown's considered one of the best screenplays ever, like, of all time ever. He did write this, right? Let me just, I'm double checking.
That's probably
Robert Town wrote it. Anyway, so the movie's got a classic old Hollywood structure. He basically ripped off the plot of the old Hitchcock movie Notorious, which is also about a girl going undercover to help a guy catch a thief that she had been in a relationship with. It's got some of my favorite lines in the entire series, like when they send Naya Nordoff Hall in and Tom Cruise is like, they're like, she's in. And then Tom Cruise is like, we just took a snowball and threw it into hell. Now we'll see what chance it has.
That's a good line.
Anyway, look, I just think it's a great movie. I think, I like Freddie, I love that it goes gonzo on all of the mask stuff and doubles down like that.
You see that moment where
you think that the guy is killing the henchman. He thinks he's killing Tom Cruise, and then it turns out that Tom Cruise put a mask of his own face on the henchman and duct taped his
mouth. That 40 chest. Now, here's the thing that's interesting about that. I will note that that moment still sticks out in my sort of young adult memory as an incredible theater moment. That was actually...
People went nuts.
People were flipping out that Tom Cruise was getting shot. I remember the girl next to me crying when we watched the movie. And then it was like... And then
people liked that movie when it came out. And then I don't know what happened to the world. And then mediocre three came out. And everybody got too fucking cool for school.
Everyone got cool because they could lean back on three and be like, yes, Philip Seymour Hoffman and his incredible performance. Aside from that and some weird eyeball shit, tell me anything else that happens in that movie. And I've had people mistake what's happened in 4 for that. Like, oh, wait, that was 4. I'm like, you're damn right. Because you don't remember Mission Impossible 3.
I like 3 because it was, like, cool and emotionless and just felt like every movie that's ever come out ever since Mission Impossible 2, which was rad. So here's the problem with the podcast. This is gonna become a lot about Mission Impossible 2.
We need to put a cork in it, yes. I think.
Okay, I have a few important things to bring up. Because then, yes, we need to focus on how are we going to do a sequel to this movie.
Yes.
Which one of the reasons you can do a sequel to this movie, because the romance and the relationship between Tandy Newton's character and Tom Cruise's character actually comes to a third act, and like, she's a cool enough character that you're like, you could see the two of them doing something.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about this. Let's dive in.
So first, I think we do owe our audience, because it's been a while since a lot of people have seen Mission Impossible 2, I do think we owe them a recap of the first Mission Impossible 2. If I remember correctly, Ethan Hunt and his crew, they are taking on a rogue, another bad guy, a bad guy, former IMF agent, he's got a virus and a cure for that virus.
Yes.
And his scheme is he's teamed up with this pharmaceutical company. The virus is called Bellerophon, and the pharmaceutical company the virus is Chimera.
Yes.
And then Bellerophon, who's the hunter who fought Chimera back in the days,
the name of the thing.
They're in this scheme. They're gonna infect Australia with this plague of Chimera, and then the company's gonna use Bellerophon to cure it and make a whole bunch of money. It's like evil pharma bros.
Yeah.
Even more evil Martin Shkreli.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's got this. So he's got a virus, and then Tom Cruise is hired to try to track him down, and then he needs to team up with Naya Nordoff Hall, Tandy Newton's character, who's a thief, and she's the former girlfriend of our bad guy.
Yes.
And so she becomes an undercover agent, but she and Tom Cruise fall in love, and he didn't realize he was sending her in because of a romantic connection, because Anthony Hopkins, like the mean old Mission Impossible man, like lied to him. And then the climax of the movie is she gets infected with the virus. Tom Cruise has 24 hours to save her. And then he rescues her, and they kill the bad guy at the end.
Yes.
So that's what we've got.
And I would say it's the only movie that Tom Cruise isn't, that the story isn't Tom Cruise is a threat to the nation.
That's true, which is why it's probably the one, again,
those movies are fun, but it is also like, it's weird that the Mission Impossible story is, he's gone rogue and they got to prove that they're not bad guys. This is the only movie where he just goes and does a good thing.
He just does a job. Yeah.
Yeah, he just does a job.
Yeah.
Even to the point now, I think in the trailer, they're like, you know, he's gone rogue a lot. So you think he can't do it again? Because he will for this movie, everybody.
Okay. So here's the thing.
So this one, Tom Cruise goes rogue.
Well, I think what you don't want to do is, this is similar to the ending of Bourne Identity, kind of, right? Like, you have this spy or this
he's
whatever.
He found happiness.
And he found happiness. And the way they do it in Bourne. The Bourne movies is they kill her in the first minute of the sequel.
That was pretty fun. I remember being pretty upset when I saw Bourne Supremacy. I'm like, oh, Franka Patente just gets shot in the head like 3 seconds into the beginning of this movie. I was like, give me a break.
Where I feel like, how do you pronounce it? Naya?
Naya Nordoff.
Naya.
Naya deserves better.
You but, who have no conscience.
Oh my God. Such so a good. All right. So you've got
Naya and Tom Cruise feels like it needs to be the thing. It needs to be the basis.
Does like
of it.
Tom does Naya join
Mission
IMF?
Impossible? The impossible people.
Okay, does Naya join? I mean, okay, so I could see this as like again, I want this movie sexy. I could see this as kind of like a Trouble in Paradise type thing, because I think you want to play off the
now,
fact
here's,
that
here's a question. Sorry to interrupt. Are we going back into a time machine to the year 2002 and we're like blowing up J.J. Abrams' car and stopping him from making the new one?
There's no 3, 4, and 5.
Okay, so because the other thing we could do is we could just do the next one is Mission Impossible. It goes Mission Impossible 2, Mission Impossible 3, Mission Impossible 4, Ghost Protocol, MI5, and then Mission Impossible 2, which is a sequel to Mission Impossible. And then just bear with me. Just bear with me for a second, because it would be like, it's like, Tom, your new partner on the new one, it's your ex girlfriend from a bunch of missions ago. Okay, and then so it's like we get those two crazy kids back
together.
Are we
going to play in the world where he had his wife and then she...
I still don't understand how
I don't understand that what the story is of the other
movies.
And
she comes back in the new one?
Yeah. Can we just...
All right, we'll just do Mission Impossible.
Okay, because I was going to say the fun...
Three never happened.
Like,
three never happened.
I would play in the world where Naya was originally a thief.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, so that should be like, again, I could see a little bit of like that she joined IMF, but there's a gig that's just too good for her not to fucking steal. And you get a little bit of like they're testing out their romance and she's trying out this new job, but she's like still a thief. And then I don't know.
So we're saying it's like a workplace romance spy.
Yeah.
Movie.
They're like, you can't bring her in just because she's your wife. She's still a thief deep down. And she's like, no, I'm not. They're like, okay, your job is to protect this $100 billion diamond. And they all look at her. And she's like, I don't care about that at all.
I don't know if she should get into the boring. Like, if there's one thing I think about when I think Mission Impossible, it's boring workplace like drama. Are you kidding? I never want to see the inside of the IMF.
Boring workplace drama. It'd be like, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith sort of. Is what I was saying.
Yeah, but that movie ends in like an IKEA. Like, this is Mission Impossible, not freaking like an allegory for like a marriage, man. Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible gets his mission because he's fucking rock climbing and they sent him a fucking detonating pair of sunglasses for him to get his mission on. So,
okay, you know what? Now I am kind of cool with the idea that you do this after 6. Because what you would do is like, I don't know what's going to happen in 6. So we kind of would just have to guess. But I feel like
he goes rogue. He fights Henry Cavill, reloads his arms. he fights Henry Cavill.
And then it turns out he was right. And he does have the world's interests at heart. And he's not actually a terrorist.
But maybe it's the reverse where he finds where like he's sent off IMF finally. It's he's donezo.
Yeah.
It's the beginning of Mission Impossible 2, Part 2, Mission Impossible 7 is Tom Cruise is like chilling in, you know, some exotic location that's cool and expensive and they haven't used yet, and he's off IMF. And he comes across Naya, mm-hmm. who's doing.
She's on the hunt for the Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, she's doing a thief mission.
Okay.
And she's like, I could use some help. I hear you're not part of IMF anymore. And then of course their thief mission would then turn into something global and dangerous. And then he's got to bring it to IMF, but they don't trust him
because
he's a fucking loser. So now he's gone rogue while being rogue, and him and a thief
double rogue,
Mission Impossible 2, Mission Impossible 7, double rogue.
And then the end would be like, all right, Tom Cruise, you are pretty cool. Even when you go rogue, you get your job back. And him and Thandie Newton look at each other. He's like, nah, we good. And they walk off and they're like, damn, this guy is cool. He'll come back if we need to do another movie, though. Wink.
Okay. So the idea of him being the bad guy is cool. I think the idea of him being the bad guy is not bad, or being in the position finally, because like over and over again, it's always been like, here's the real bad guy, and then he has to go a little bit rogue to stop him.
Let him cut loose at the beginning. It's like, this is fun when I don't have somebody fucking talking in my ear the whole time. We're just here to rob a diamond.
If I remember correctly, there's a shot in the trailer for the new Mission Impossible, the sixth one.
Yes.
Fallout.
Yes, where the world blows
there's
up.
Like a, there's like a no, but yeah, but there's clearly a shot where like a nuke goes off while he's getting he's having a vow renewal ceremony or something like that, right? Like, am I crazy? I saw that.
No, that's there. It's got to be a dream, obviously. Otherwise, they both are dead.
Is it like, but they've never done a dream sequence in a Mission Impossible yep. movie. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm just like,
unless,
shall we
unless
say,
we say
what
three,
happened?
Four,
you do kind of have to bring, if we're going to put this back in the continuity, what happens to him and Michelle Monaghan at the yeah. end of the new one?
Yeah.
She got blown up by a nuke based on that.
Or does she just leave
shot.
Him? She's just like, you know
She's
what?
Like, this is garbage.
Like, I don't want to be dating a gun spy man. This is horrible.
He loses his job at IMF.
The best fucking version of this was in Austin Powers 2, where Elizabeth Hurley just turns out to have been a fembot
the
entire
whole time. Yeah, that's such
and
an
then
insane
Michael York
twist.
Is like, yes, and the sad part is we knew all along, and then they just move on.
Yeah, I mean, what's even, like, she's in 4, doesn't she show up at the end of 4? Because, right, who's the most boring guy in the Avengers? Bow Arrow Man.
The one we forgot in our Infinity War episode?
Hawkeye.
Hawkman.
Don't they have a scene where they're like, man, marriage, tough, right? He's like, yeah, tough. And then at the end, like, the wife is far away, and she's like, there's my husband. And they're like, yeah. She's like, life's tough. And then isn't that the end of that scene?
So, yes, Brandt.
That they just... That name is perfect for that character.
Hi, I'm Brandt.
Jeremy Renner's iconic character, Brandt. So he tells the other guys that like he had been assigned to protect Ethan and his wife, Julia,
mm-hmm.
in Croatia. And then Julia got killed by a hit squad. And then you're like, oh, no. And then it turns out at the end of the movie... that
she's actually alive
because Ethan reveals that her death and the murder of the Serbians were a plot to give her a new identity and enable because he's in a prison at the beginning,
yeah,
so when she dies it was like part of like a cover, so then yeah, he sees her from across the way or whatever.
Okay, but they're apart. She's smart, she left Ethan.
Okay. I don't need to get too in the weeds in
yeah this. so the end of 6 he goes too rogue this time, like way too rogue. They finally fire him. And he's off the squad because he doesn't want to make a tough. You know what it is? He's tired of these tough ass decisions because, from what I can tell, in 6, it's all about he's getting punished for the fact that he wasn't going to risk his team, that he wasn't going to kill his team for the greater good, mm-hmm. right? That's like that cool line in the trailer. It's like, yeah, that's the job.
That's the job.
Yeah. That's the job.
And I'm like, okay, yeah. So it's like he's gone.
He's like, you know what? What if he doesn't want to do the job? Now what?
Yeah, he's lost so much through these movies. He's out. He's lost his marriage. He lost the woman we really care about, Naya, in Mission Impossible 2. He's lost everything, and he can't make these tough decisions anymore because he's getting old. It's also we can do a little, you know,
okay,
little
so
meta.
He quits at the end.
But he's a shark, man. He got to keep moving. What does a man like him do when he quits from a life of crime?
Private, illegal crime.
With an old fling of his.
Okay, so we're saying, it feels like I'm writing fan fiction right now. All right. So
either way, this is the ultimate fan fiction
Ethan
podcast.
Ethan Hunt quits his job at the end yes. of 6 for being a... I think he gets kicked out. Yeah.
He's kicked out of the country.
They take
I don't even say they were going to execute him for
crime. They burn his passport.
Yes.
And you know how hard it is to get a damn passport.
That would be a cool intro. It's like literally he has
all
to
his
escape
passports.
The country and fake his own death because, again, he's too dangerous to be alive. So he's off the grid now. He's gone.
He's toast.
He's
okay.
toast.
He's in the wind.
And okay. he's doing like security at some like casino in Beijing because he just needs a gig and he's good at, you know, he knows. But like, they're always like, man, you're too tense. Not everybody that walks in is a super spy. He can't turn off those instincts.
Those killer
That's
instincts.
That's fun. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah,
but he's
yeah.
in a busy place. I like him being in like a metropolitan area.
Well, I mean, how sexy do you want it to be? The reason people go to, like, the middle of nowhere is because it's a fun place to put your main character yeah. at the beginning of this thing. If we are already seeing, it's like, oh, he's slumming it at this high-end casino in Macau.
That's a good
like,
point.
It's a little, like, yeah. like, I feel like he's, like, bumming it in, like, like it would be somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and it would be like, again, like you would do like the beginning is like those close up shots of him, like with the thing and the security cameras, and then you find out he's busting someone for shoplifting from the museum gift store.
There's this good arc in Brooklyn Nine-Nine where they go into witness protection, mm-hmm. and then the chief is like, can't even get promoted at this arcade mm-hmm. because they're like, You have no resume. You're like nothing. So it'd be like, again, because he's disappeared, he's got nothing. He's got yeah, no.
So could you explain this 40-year gap in your employment history?
Yeah.
I was
So the guy above him is like a loser, and they're like, yeah, you just don't seem like a guy who's got attention for details and stuff.
Well, it's also like you've got Ethan Hunt. I think because this is the other thing is like the character is just Tom Cruise, right?
Yeah.
But I think you could play into that because it's like, who is this? This guy has nothing beside his job, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, who is he? Like, he doesn't even know. He has no personality.
Yes.
Like, he's just a blank slate of a human being, and he's really got to deal with that for the first time because he doesn't have a bomb to disarm.
And what comes across, what walks across the room? The last person that made him feel alive.
Damn. Drama, baby.
Okay.
Again, that'd be the first surprise. This is like, why? This is like some shitty rundown casino. And it's like, well, she's making a mark of... It would be like one of the guys in the shitty casino is a security guard at the fucking, you know... whatever, some fancy ass place with billionaires go, and she's making her mark, she's getting close with this guy in order to get the, she's found the right, because all those things always start with some sort of social hacking. They always start with like you find the mailroom guy so she's slumming around here because she's found the mailroom guy of the fucking rich ass casino or whatever.
I mean, the other thing I was gonna say is that the nobody bellhop that she is working should turn out to be Tom Cruise.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Do you know what I mean? Like, or something like that.
I was gonna say, I do like this being, by the way, like Swiss Alps. Or like snow.
Yeah,
they haven't done that
in
Mission Impossible
or
yet.
Something. Yeah, yeah.
I do like snow.
Well, they are getting in the snow, looks
I mean,
like. But
are they?
It's the globe trotting is what is the hallmark of the
Mission
Impossible.
Oh, and
also
Tom Cruise, before he left, he took one perfect mask of himself. He's just like, just in case I need
just
this
in
shit.
Case I need a mask.
So he has like one mask of, like, you know what I'm saying? I like the idea of just like at some point.
Oh,
in this movie,
no, that would be a good gag. Is like the cleaning is like the housekeeping like opens his closet and like moving his coats, and there's just like five masks of himself hung up, and they're like, what the fuck?
So it's a heist movie, is what you're saying. We're kind of getting back to Mission Impossible 1, which I don't mind, but it's kind of interesting, right? Like, to kind of scale it down a little bit.
To me, it feels like if I'm going to sort of stumbled my way through this thing, because again, like, the problem again, Mission Impossible runs into the same problem the Fast and the Furious movies do, right, where you got to keep juicing it up, right? And like, you got to keep, like, so I like the idea of doing a little bit more of a back to basics movie, but it needs to turn into a proper
Mission Impossible movie
at some point.
Again,
right?
Just to throw it, I mean, very rough, but you need to figure out what the details, because also the fun is gonna be like, what's works about Mission Impossible 2 is like, that's, I mean, again, I thought back then, it's like, it's a fun concept, the idea of somebody making a virus and somebody having the cure.
Yeah,
it's like, to me, it's again, it's whatever it is, he gets caught up with. Naya's like, come on this job with me. We're stealing this $1 billion poker chip because they're making a transfer or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And they take it, and then he finds out this chip was to purchase a nuke or whatever it is. And she's like, well, that's not my problem. My problem is I'm giving it to my buyers. And he's like, no. We need to pretend to be that same guy, and we need to go make that purchase because we need to figure out who's got that nuke and what's going on.
Right,
and then
right,
he gets into it in that way. And she gets pulled along again, and she's like...
Well, you would do, they cross paths with the Mission Impossible team.
Oh, absolutely.
That's working the other end.
Oh, absolutely. You get a sense where he's like... If this was an IMF mission, there'd be a sniper over there. And it's like a dude there. It's like, this is an IMF. Yeah, the idea of like them being at the edges of another IMF mission.
Oh, we should assume
cool
Rebecca Ferguson's still in it, because there's a little bit of a love triangle. And you get this thing where she's like, we have a problem. There's a third party here. He's like, who? Ethan Hunt.
Oh, you know
what'd
be cool?
And IMF's like, what the fuck? I thought he was dead. What is he doing there?
No, you know what'd be cool is that he has a thing, and they have like, and maybe it's like a auction or something, so there's like multiple buyers, but they realize that the other person's like, oh shit, we can't blow each other's cover because we're both here under false pretenses.
Yeah.
And they're in the same room. It's like, ooh, very spicy spy drama.
You also have a fun moment. They're like, what is he doing here? It's like, he's with somebody. Who is that? And they go,
from the cool Mission Impossible.
Exactly. Where's she from? She's like, oh, she was on that old mission, that coolest mission. Remember that mission? That's when Tom Cruise was actually, that's when Ethan Hunt's actually happy. That's when there's real emotion with Ethan Hunt. And they have this whole like meta ramble about how that mission was the coolest mission.
and you play the lab
yeah,
tech.
It's all three of us. That's our cameo. Okay. But I do like putting him as a slum nobody. I like then him getting caught up with this old fling, and she's like, hey, you know, who cares about your country? They abandoned you. Come join me on this dope heist where we're going to make a ton of money. And he's like, cool. And then they get there, and you get this crazy IMF is also there, and you get this like big showdown, and then he realizes what they're doing is actually connected to something bigger, and then he's going to, and then he knows the clue, and again, IMF doesn't want to deal with him, and then he's kind of going rogue again. Whatever.
Dude, that's crazy. He can go rogue, and he's not even part of the organization anymore. How annoyed would you be if
well,
he
would
his
find
boss?
Out that the he would find
Alec
out
Baldwin's
that-
like, again?
he would find out the real bad guy's the new IMF, right? It'd be the guy who's running it.
Yeah, like Alec Baldwin, who's been playing all the angles.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. No, you can't have Alec Baldwin be the bad guy. No. Alec Baldwin got fired, too, and he's the bartender at the bar.
Just you and me, Ethan.
Okay, all right.
Can we have it be like, it's funding like a... bot network or something to like influence the world's democracies.
Ooh, a botnet is pretty good.
Yeah, it's anonymous. It's gonna we need these bitcoins to finance these hackers. And it's like Ethan Hunt's like, I don't understand a word you just said, but I do know how to shoot two guns and I have this mask of my own face.
Frey, now I know about zero about cryptocurrency.
Yes.
So can you hide stuff in cryptocurrency?
You're going to need to be a little more specific about how stupid
I see what you're going for, because you're like, it's a crypto coin, but like in the code of the crypto coin is the name of every spy's girlfriend or whatever.
Yes. Or it's like, oh, it's a hard drive, or it's like a hard drive with $1 billion of Bitcoin. And that's what you think it's about. But it's like that, yes, the $1 billion Bitcoin within that, because it's just a bunch of code, it's a bunch of numbers, is actually also
something else. So you would say something that...
A
virus that's going to...
It's going to crash the global economy.
Yes.
Here's what you would say then. So Bitcoin was originally an IMF or CIA funded thing, when what they're doing
because they never discovered who the original guy who made Bitcoin is anyway.
It's true.
It was
Ethan Hunt, and they've
it's Alec Baldwin's like, of course it was me, I'm a white man.
And they've done a thing where there's, you know, hidden deep and obvious, even though people have gone through the code with a fine tooth comb, whatever, they've hidden somehow pieces of code so that once there's enough processing power in the world dedicated to doing Bitcoin, it trips a thing and will cause a global financial meltdown for some whatever entity or whatever it is. Something like that.
Once this Bitcoin is put into the market.
Or whatever.
We need to put a good 5-10 minutes into this villain plot.
That's true.
Because
I
can actually explain to you and remember 20 years later what the plot of Mission Impossible 2 was, because they came up with a good fucking villain plot.
It's true.
All these other movies, it is just like, again, like five, it's like, it's literally every one of them, it seems to be, there's a list of spies that if it
they
gets out,
stop.
The spies
hey,
will
hey, real quick, geniuses, stop making fucking lists of spies and leaving them around. There, done. No more Mission Impossible.
And then it's just a cycle, because it's like, if the only thing these spies do is kill bad guys who create lists of spies,
then what are we spying on?
What's the problem? If they did get killed, then the bad guys would stop making those lists.
Okay. Here's what I like to go back, like, you know when they say go to Shakespeare, like to go to Mission Impossible 2 for
yes.
a moment.
Yes, yes.
What I liked about the virus thing, and what they do so well, is that they show you how horrific the virus is. Like, you see a couple people die from it. It's fucking gnarly. So it's like that. It's got that tangible contagion stakes to
it's
it.
Like the
and
Rock.
When Naya gets infected with it, you're like, oh shit, she's got 24 hours. Then she's gonna get totally jacked up like that guy I saw earlier. And then she's in the middle of this huge city, so this whole city is gonna die this horrible, painful death. Yeah. Like, there's something really
tangible.
Yeah, that's
it's
my only
tangible.
Nervous about cryptocurrency and stuff
true.
Like that. I'm like, it's like, I don't. Care?
Here's how you know cryptocurrency isn't tangible. Just do a search for stock images of Bitcoin and see how the various artists' interpretations of it.
I mean, in the same way that cryptocurrency would be, it would do something. Like, it would be
it'd
nuclear meltdown
or something.
It'd be a means to an end. I mean, the same way that it would be the equivalent of, right, because the whole climax of Mission Impossible 2 is there's a stock, they literally sell
Don't forget the reason why the virus thing was so nice was not just the tangibility of the end result of it, but it's also a way of illustrating the greed of one person, right? It's the person is willing to do that, and it's very clear, like, yes, this person cares about it. You don't get any of that, you know, obviously I don't think necessarily for crypto, because it's like, you just need to understand, like, what is this person, because, you know, getting down to greed or power or what have you, very classic quintessential sort of bad guy things. The question is like, okay, but at what cost? And it's showing very clearly in Mission Impossible 2. It's like, oh,
the human cost.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, she was willing to infect herself with that horrible disease to save.
That's because she's so brave.
Yeah, you with no conscience.
You who have no conscience.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I guess I lied.
Okay.
So. This movie's so good. All right. How do you connect cryptocurrency to like something?
You need a person at the end of it, right?
Like, you need a person.
I mean, what are they ultimately doing? Again, the idea of cryptocurrency was just
arguably in the same way, even Kingsman has like Samuel Jackson still at the end.
That's a
great one. Yeah, because you're like, oh my god, everyone's ripping each other to pieces.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you also understand the twisted ideology behind it.
Yeah,
more than
yeah,
Thanos
yeah, yeah, yeah.
going half the world. It's like save the best 5% of the world and start over.
Okay. All right.
Maybe it's that.
Well, but so I mean, just to
somebody
get
brought up because somebody kind of threw it, it was all in his mentions. So I don't know if it went around, but somebody did kind of throw that to Elon Musk. They're just like, I mean, you're just, it's just, I mean, but people like you just care about the, it's kind of like the end of that movie that we're maybe developing where it's like, but people like you just get the, you just worry about the top 1%, the people you claim the best are going to go to Mars and you leave the rest of us. And his response was like, well, human civil, it essentially was like his response was like, yeah, but in the grand scheme of things, like, you know, the best are gonna be the people who say blah blah blah. And it's like, ah, fuck that. Like, no, like, I'd rather have the 95% tear down the 5% than have the 5% live on or whatever.
Okay, I'm sure this is me shooting from the hip here.
Pew, pew.
And cribbing a little bit from that 24 season, because there was a 24 season where there was a virus that overloads nuclear power plants.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see a similar thing. All right, this is like, I don't want to do crazy environmentalists because they kind of did that in 4, I believe. Mm-hmm. But it would be like, imagine an energy company, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has this ability to, like, again, like, you know, you see these, like, the oil leaks, like, on these derricks and stuff like that. Like, they have an... And then remember, like, the Stuxnet virus that we used to overload the centrifuge in Iran, like, right, to stop them from doing it. So you have, like, someone is using Bitcoin as a way to transmit this virus to take over the world energy grid, right? And it's this evil energy company that's going to use it to destroy the power plants or, like, the energy harvesting operations of all of their competitors, right?
Sure,
it's going to it's gonna blight the earth because you're going to get Deepwater Horizon times 1,000, right? Like, it's going to be, like, oil blowing up all over the place and, like, you know, nuclear power plants going off. They're going to be able to smite whoever they want because they've used this cryptocurrency to get access to the world's power grid, essentially.
Sure, sure.
So then the way you could establish the stakes at the beginning is we see the effects of this happen. Like, what, you know, like, you, your opening is on an oil derrick or something like that. It's this horrible ecological disaster, and you see people get fucked up and stuff like that. And then I would do the place where Tom Cruise is the bellhop is in this town that is, like, on the beach, and there is, like, an offshore oil rig, or there is, like, a nuclear power plant or something in that town. And at the end of this movie, that whole area, like, again, like, the locals that he met, they're all going to get fucked by this thing, and they're all going to get killed if he doesn't stop these guys from executing their evil plan. Does that maybe work?
Let's go with it.
Yeah,
we got 20 minutes left.
Okay, all right, all right, all right, all
right. Yeah. Okay. So.
Okay. So you start at the beginning. You got Tom Cruise. He's down and out. He's a bellhop.
Yeah.
In a he turned into Ralph Fiennes in Grand Budapest Hotel. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Like, security at a kind of rundown.
Well, I like him not being security. I like him not actually being. Mm. Again, it's like his mission now is, like, we got to make sure the guest gets their bag on time. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like he's dealing with this thing. He's bored out of his skull. He doesn't know who he is. He's in this. You know, again, he is in a third world country, or, like, maybe he's in a remote country that you know, like, is like a sort of billionaire, almost like a Dubai or something like that. Not that Dubai is a third world country, but, like, this place that is like a billionaire's playground, but there's also, like, this horrible economic oppression, and he's on the he sees both sides of it. Do you know what I mean?
And he's definitely getting hit on.
So he's in America. Whoa!
Bazinga!
Bazinga! Heyo!
So you would do, okay, so that's where he starts, right? And then he's at the hotel, and then he sees Naya walk in the door. He's kind of like a Rick from Casablanca type character at the beginning. He's like, what the fuck is she doing here? And she's like, what the fuck is he doing here? He must be on some IMF job. He's going to blow my cover, right? Because they had a bad breakup. Because she was like, I can't be tied down by this, like, you know, like...
The square.
You don't know who you're working for. They're pretty bad. I bet you're going to go rogue a bunch of times because you're going to question their ethics. Like, no, I'm doing the right thing. I'm fighting for my country. She's like, we'll see about that. And she's like, I saw your movies. Like... I was right.
Yeah.
IMF's not perfect.
Okay, so she walks back into his life, essentially, right? And she's running this job.
And he's trying to tell his boss, who's, like, security, he's like, hey, you should watch. She's doing something. He's like, hey, I got this, Ethan. Like, I'm a security guard. What are you? You were unemployed for 40 years.
Okay.
So he keeps getting in trouble while trying to track her down. So he's trying to hide from his boss while tracking her down.
Yeah.
He's also trying to be a bellhop, which is very fun. Old lady's asking, like,
oh, you know, and then he's got to use, like, his bellhop crew as his to save the world. Okay, so you do. He's like, what the fuck is going on, right? And so then she is running a job because there's a guy at the hotel who's a high roller from this energy company, right?
Yeah.
Or, like, maybe he's a CEO's, he's the CEO's bratty son, right? And he's got deep pockets, and she's working him to try to, like, again, because there's a casino at this hotel, and she's going to...
seduce him and wants to go to the gala. or whatever. Like, right? Like, she's like,
She's stealing money first. She's up to no good. Okay. Or she and the guy are running. I don't know exactly what it is. But essentially, then you would do. I'm trying to also figure out, like, what would compel him to go along on this mission with her? Well, you know what you could do is you could do, like, he's suspicious of her, right? And he's just trying to figure out what's going on. So he, and no one will believe him. So he and his bellhop goons steal her bag because he's going to try to fit it. But then he gets jumped by her goons, right? Like, she's got some muscle with her or whatever. And they're like, should we waste this guy or what? And it's like, no, he can come with us. You're not going to snitch on us, are you? Either, like, you're going to get fucking killed or something. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to figure out the angle.
You don't like him getting dragged? Because I kind of.
How
like
about
that.
What do you mean dragged like his, in? No, this no, guy
he
can,
does something.
No, like in a little event. Like, I thought it was originally like she convinces him, like, hey, you're a loser. Like, come do crime with me.
I just don't. I mean, he's such a Boy Scout. Like, I just don't know if I buy him. Like, what does she do? That's what I'm going to think. Like, I bump a little bit.
That's why you need that to be an interesting decision for him. But he's a loser. He's been abandoned by everything. He has no country to serve anymore. Mm-hmm. He's a loser boss, and the one person that he's actually, you know, well, I won't say he didn't love his wife, but person he really loves, like, who's also a good person, is like, look, like, what do you mean? Like, you're good at this, like,
you might as well
let's
do
move
what
on.
You're
like,
good
yeah,
at.
Like, let's do something. We can get some money. You can live in a better place. Maybe you can do something more useful, but you're not doing anybody any good here. No, we're just going to steal from a bunch of bad guys. Like, come on.
Okay.
Let's go do
so
this.
So this is like a bad guy that she's stealing from.
Yes,
and
yes.
Again, like, he's
bad,
maybe,
bad
again,
guy.
Like, he has, I could see doing a thing where it's like, again, like, if you were going to set this someplace, you know, like, again, with like a really, like, a sort of like, again, that sharp line between poverty and wealth, that there is someone, there's another bellhop, or there's somebody who he cares about who could really use financial help or something like that. Maybe he's like, I'm going to
give him a little bit of a Boy Scout reason.
Yeah, like, you know, the other bellhop's got a sick daughter and she can't afford this life-saving operation. He's like, all right, I'm going to do this and then I'll be able to fucking help this guy.
Yeah, come on.
You know
it's 50-50. We're stealing from a like, crime
come on, these
boss,
are, yeah, these guys,
crime boss
you know, these energy execs are as dirty as they come, you know, like that kind of thing.
And like, then he's like, I can give some money to this bellhop or whoever that he likes.
Yeah. But really, he's doing it because he doesn't know who he is outside of his job.
It's a thrill. He's good at what he does.
Okay. All right. So then it's like, all right. So then you have we're gonna run the heist in the casino, right? And we're gonna pinch something off of this guy.
Yeah.
And then, so essentially, yes, you've got him getting back into it, and then it's all these unsavory characters, right?
Yes.
And then I would do, as they're enacting their mission, it's like, what the fuck? Like, Simon Pegg is here. Yes. What the hell is Simon Pegg doing at this hotel? Like, what the fuck? Like, there's an IMF job going on. Like, we need to get out. We need to pull out. We need to let them do whatever they're doing. She's like, I'm not fucking getting out of anything. I'm getting my score. Like, I'm getting my shit, right?
Or something like that. Yeah. There's like a security camera breakdown. And she's like, oh, shit, there's somebody. Somebody's hacking us. Who is it? You gotta go find them.
Yeah.
She's like pulling up a blueprint. She's like, I think he's hacking it from here. So, like, Ethan Hunt, like, sneaks up. And there's a guy hacking. And he pulls a gun out. And he turns around.
And Simon Pegg.
And Simon Pegg's like, Ethan, I thought you were. That's what sounds like. Ethan, I thought you were dead. And Ethan's like, Simon Pegg, I thought, what are you doing here? And then he's like, we're tracking this guy. We're taking his money because there's actually some, well, I can't tell you because you're not part of IMF.
Oh, I like that he can't tell him. Yeah.
He's like, what are you doing here? He's like, I'm security here.
I'm security. I'm not doing anything either.
I'm security here. You're not supposed to be here. I protect these guys. He's like, they're bad guys. Like, why are they bad guys? He's trying to figure it out. They're like interrogating each other, trying to figure out what they're both doing here. But yeah, so then what you'd find out is that they essentially all blow the plan then, right?
Yeah,
that's what happened.
Blows
the bad guy gets away. Mm-hmm. And then Ethan realizes that that the guy they're tracking isn't just he's a bad guy, but what he's doing is bigger than just.
All right, so you would do, I mean, it feels like, or do you do that they get the MacGuffin at the midpoint, like whatever the thing. All right, let's talk about what is this thing, right? Okay. Like, this is the activation code for this Bitcoin botnet? Like,
sure.
Okay. Let me hit you with this.
Okay.
It's a high-stakes poker game. Mm-hmm. Well, poker game is... So you have this, you know, like, was it Fancy Bear? Was that the Russian hacker? You have this hacker, right? Like,
Fancy Bear?
That's the guy. That's a real thing. That was the code name of the hacker who hacked the U.S. election. Freddie, learn your fucking U.S. history. Okay.
Fancy Bear, yep.
Yeah. So there's Fancy Bear and Cozy Bear, I think was the other one. All right. Anyway. So you would have... All right. Imagine it's a high-stakes poker game. Mm-hmm. You have this energy executive on one side, and you have this crypto hacker on the other.
Mm-hmm.
The elusive Satoshi Kon, creator of Paprika and the Bitcoin. that old rogue has come back once again. Okay, so what you would do essentially, this guy is selling the key code to his botnet to this oil executive, right? But both of these men are being, or, you know, one of them is a woman, one of them is a man, whatever. Both of these characters are being watched by, like, hawks, by the DEA, the Atomic Energy Commission, you know, every organization on Earth is after, but is, you know, keeping, so they can't just have a handoff in public, right? Mm-hmm. So the code is disguised as a poker chip, which is going to be used in this rigged poker game to make the handoff, right? And so then that MacGuffin, it's like in that Cowboy Bebop episode, the poker chips and MacGuffin. So you do a thing like that. That's why IMF is there, because they're keeping tabs. It's a surveillance crew.
Yeah.
They're keeping tabs on this. So, again, basically, it was fun because then this hotel becomes this just nest of spies from every organization on Earth is trying to figure out what the fuck both of these guys are doing here at this thing. You know what I mean? Something like that?
That's cool.
Yeah, I think the scale of it, too. It's kind of cool.
And then you would do Naya. All Naya's heard about is that Naya's like, there's a high-stakes poker game going on. There's going to be billions of dollars on the line. I want to go in and cheat the game and win a shitload of money.
Yeah.
So, like, you do their angles just to win this poker game, but then they wind up winning that chip.
That's fun.
Yeah, that's fun.
Okay, so for what the
back, spy agency on Earth after.
Question about how this what this could go to. How does an ICO work?
I don't know, dude.
Okay, because what I was thinking is, like, could you do, this is kind of weird, but could you do that this country is the first country that's going to open, just bear with me, their currency is going to be an ICO. They're the first country that's doing a cryptocurrency.
As their whole country currency.
As their whole country currency. So they're going to do, it's going to be a day, and all of a sudden there's this big, because that would be a ton of processing going into releasing all that currency out of the country. Right. That all that processing power is actually going to be used to melt down all the power plants everywhere. So it's this big,
because you giant denial service or what have you.
Yes, exactly. So if it's like Dubai is going to, this billionaire guy is going to turn Dubai's currency into cryptocurrency because it's safest. It's all crazy shit that crypto bros say.
Okay.
And that's what this is all about. And so that's your ticking clock. When the currency goes live and all Dubai's currency turns into cryptocurrency and all their computers and everything goes into that, all that processing power and everything and all the financial markets that are also buying into it creates all these back doors and everything, and they're going to melt down all the power plants of all over the place.
And then everyone will have to use this one power plant guy's shit now.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
He's going to corner the global energy market all the world, and then it's going to blight the earth.
Yes, and so you get the ticking clock is like the opening of a Wall Street sort of thing. It's like when that cryptocurrency goes live, the world's going to melt down.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, because then you still do everyone's in town for this big event, which is why this energy guy is here, which is why the crypto hacker is here.
You do it like Luxembourg or something.
And then
you
would do, so I would still do, there's this exchange going on with the chip, which is the back door code for the thing.
Yes. I think that would be, and just to make a globetrotting, you would start like, they just happened to all be in Sweden at this ski resort or whatever, and then it's like, oh, the guys there are actually the Prince of Luxembourg or whatever, and they realize, then they hear the news, like, Luxembourg's turning into cryptocurrency. Because it would be something like Dubai or Singapore or Luxembourg, like a smaller country that has a lot of money going through that could do that sort of weird transition or whatever. So yes, it brings you
to... They have to go stop the launch of the... They gotta shut down the servers and all that.
Yeah, it would be cool, by the way, just again, from putting the producer hat on, if you set this in Liechtenstein, because you can rent out the entire city.
Oh, and then they have those big castles, like, right? Like those like medieval castles and stuff like that.
But you can rent out an entire city. So it's like the first movie that where it's they've taken over an entire
Liechtenstein's good. Yeah.
Okay, then I would start this in like Beijing. Because probably they're also going to pay for the movie.
Sorry, Liechtenstein is a country, excuse me.
Yeah, no, but it's very small.
But the idea of renting
out... Or like Luxembourg or something
But the idea of like, for this movie, we've rented out an entire country for this shoot is pretty cool.
That's fine. So I would start in a different... Again, it's like not where you expect. You start in... Yeah, I would do like it's slums in Beijing or something.
You could do Macau.
Macau. Yeah, okay. Fine. Yes, he's there. You get this fun. It's fun. Very low stakes spy stuff at the beginning because he's tracking his old girlfriend through the hotel, wondering what she's doing and what is she doing. She's getting a way to enter into this poker contest.
Yes, this poker tournament. Yeah.
Which, and then whatever, he messes up her plan somehow. She's like, "Come along with me. I could use you." Come on. Like, we're stealing money from the bad guys. What the hell are you doing here? Like, you got no country left. Like, this is what you do. You're not a bellboy. You're a freaking super spy.
It's like a classic. Like, yes. So it's a double heist where like there's a poker heist going on at the table, but it's really a cover for a real heist going on in the vault.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's like she's gonna cause a distraction at the crucial moment at the poker table to get them past the last layer of security into the vault to rob the casino of its money.
Right? Oh, that's fun. She doesn't even realize that the chip she's stealing is important.
Yeah. So then, to me, then you do this fun thing of like then. there is, yeah, the turn is like they get away with their money and then goons show up, kill everyone. She and fucking Tom Cruise barely escape, and they watch as these guys don't take any of the money.
But the poker
they
chip.
Just grab the poker chip and get out of there, and they're like, what the fuck is going on? Do you know what I mean? And now Tom Cruise is like, we've got something's going wrong with that poker chip, and IMF tells him what's up. And then it's like, we've got to use all of our winnings from this heist. We've got to use all of this money and spend it on stopping, like gearing up to stop this other thing.
Like IMF, the IMF team gets killed.
I would definitely do that. I would definitely
Simon
do that.
Simon Pegg dies in this movie.
The Prince of Liechtenstein or whatever, but the other bad, the person that's helping them should be like the head of IMF. It'd be, because again, you would do like, they're not letting him join and stuff like that. You have that confrontation. It's like, oh, well, one reason is because he's too close and the IMF's the bad guys also. Because the end of this, by the way, could be, if you're going to do this, the end of the movie is that he retires as an agent and he becomes the first good head of IMF.
Oh,
yay, Tom Cruise in the bureaucratic role. Yay, that's what these movies have
led us to. Well, old man.
Well, then the next movie is he has to go rogue and
being the head of IMF. Yeah, the next movie is like,
good.
Man, I'm not a pen pusher. I'm not a paper pusher.
All right.
5 minutes left, by the way.
Okay. Oh, all right. Well, no, but all right. Yeah, we're getting there, though. All right. The only thing we're missing, though, is that romance, though.
Well, I mean, that's all throughout it.
I mean, there's like a sort of sexy will they won't they, right?
Yeah, it's like a sexy will they won't they at the beginning, and then they steal it, and then they're like. And then it's an, I don't know, it's a lot of willy, won't they?
Oh, here's what it is. To steal the stuff from the vault, they have to do the Mission Impossible 1, like, thing flying in, except they got to be, like, attached. That's two people. It's a two-person job, so it's really sexy. Yeah, I mean, so there's like all kinds of acrobatic
stuck in a
harness. I'm saying that there's all kinds of like acrobatic moves and like, so it's like they're dancing, but it's, you know,
they have to go undercover and they have to do hot yoga together.
You know what I mean?
Like, oh no, we have to do couples yoga in order to meet this rich couple.
Oh no. Them having to pose as a couple to distract you. Do you know what I mean?
Going to, okay.
Because they got to get the honeymoon suite and all that.
Yes, because you do, this prince is like, this is the most crypto tech bro, spoiled, you know, son of a rich guy who's like, I'm going to turn my whole country's currency into cryptocurrency. Yeah. And totally cool with also melting down everything. He doesn't realize he's being used by IMF. I just think he's an idiot, doesn't know what's going on. It's like, of course, if the guy get close to him, it's like, he's into some weird shit. He's like, cool, bring your wife, quote unquote, to our wives party, and they and then they do a sexy like undercover thing that's like Eyes Wide Shut, let him, you know, do his whole Eyes Wide Shut type stuff, but mixed with
Tom Cruise knows how to do that. He's done that movie too.
Okay, yeah, they're gonna have to masquerade as a couple.
Yeah,
and they get the honeymoon suite. I mean, we got the basic outline of a take, I guess. Like, all right. So just a rough through it. All right, so he's slumming it. He's a bellhop at this. So are we starting it in Luxembourg or is that?
No, I think we start. Let's just again, you want Globetrotting. I think we start in Beijing. It's a rundown place, and then it's going to the big. Is Macau like where the?
Yeah, Macau's where all the gambling
big casino.
Okay, so we start in Macau. Yeah. And he is a bartender in like doing his cocktail thing.
Yeah.
Or he's a bellhop.
Where all the workers of the casinos, all the poor people come and spend their days afterwards.
Yeah. Okay. So he's slumming it. He's working at this hotel.
Yeah.
He bumps into Naya Nordahl Hall and he's like, what are you up to? No good probably. And she's like, did you lose your job or something? Are you undercover? Like, what are you doing? And so then he realizes she's in the middle of this crazy heist, right? Like she's going to knock over this casino and he fancies he can do a little Robin Hood good for the local community, right? Because they desperately need money. And he's like, all right, I'll do this, you know, because who cares? Is I'm willing to cross this, sort of moral gray area to do the right thing. But deep down, he's just bored out of his skull and he needs some action. He needs
and he wants
adventure.
To spend some time with Naya.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he's old flame. Yeah, okay. So that results to a sort of act two, act three, plotting this heist, right?
Yes.
Where there's a poker tournament going on that she's entering, that she's going to be, you know, sort of like the, or there's like a ball or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, there's also a heist going on, you know, like it's...
When they do this heist, they realize IMF is also here. And while they're here, and while him and I are here to steal all the money, like the poker chip that she gets during her distraction ends up being the thing that IMF was here for, which is that, yes, this guy's rich, he's got a lot of money, but he's actually in the middle. Again, this is where the transfer is happening for this crypto code that's going to be used to melt down all the nuclear power plants in the world. That's hired by the Prince of Liechtenstein or whatever.
Yes. So then, oh crap, the midpoint, she wins the tournament, they get the money, but then the goons who were trying to, like, the goons of the crypto guy, right? Or whoever the energy sheik. Not the sheik. He's not a sheik. It's the energy executive son, right? So you have you have Satoshi Nakamura, the cryptocurrency guy. You have the evil energy executive.
Yeah.
And then you have the Prince of Liechtenstein, are all three separate characters, okay, right? Because the Prince of Liechtenstein is the one who's like, hooray, like, I'm this dumb prince who's really into tech stuff. And, you know, he's probably a Bernie bro. Yeah. Okay, so he's the mark. Yeah. He's for the bad guy plan. The bad guy's goons, the oil company, has a private mercenary army, of course.
Yes.
And so they're the guys who show up at the midpoint and kill
everybody,
the goons, and they take the poker
and
chip.
And then Tom Cruise feels responsible.
And then so the remnants of the IMF team and Tom Cruise and Naya have to team up together to save the day in Liechtenstein and pull this heist and get that chip back and stop the bad guy plan from destroying the world.
Yes.
And so your opening is like in Macau, you've got this big casino heist, and then the showdown at the end is at this castle, and it's this packed festival, and they're doing this again, a second heist to essentially try to stop the bad guys from doing that.
And there's
and then there's will they's and won't they's.
Okay, so
awkward,
real quick,
close encounters.
So really quick before we finish up, one thing I think we do need to nail down in our heads. I want each of us to come up with one potential set piece, because these movies are about the trailers. You know what I mean? When you go see a trailer, you need
a
thing.
What death-defying stunt
What's
is Tom Cruise going to do?
What's the stunt that Tom Cruise is going to do for this movie?
He's going to actually get shot in this one.
I got this one.
Okay. Yeah.
Tom Cruise punches the bad guy so hard, he kills him for real. Like
Tom Cruise kills a man.
Like Tom Cruise actually kills a man in a single punch, and that he trains.
This is the hardest stunt I've ever had to do, which is to live with the remorse of killing my co-star.
Yep. If that doesn't get people in theaters, nothing will. When we come back, the elevator pitch.
The Greatest Discovery is a podcast about Star Trek Discovery and so much more, Ben.
We watched the entire first season of Star Trek Discovery, but now we're finding all kinds of interesting ancillary topics to get into.
We're interviewing our favorite people.
Reading comic books.
And we're updating you on the news about season 2 of Star Trek Discovery.
It's news you can use, and it's every 2 weeks on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Story Break, everybody. I'm Matt Arnold. I'm here alone in Freddie's apartment because he's actually on his way to, well, we can't say where because it's a very secret, but he's on his way to meet Tom Cruise himself. Wait, Freddie's calling in. Let me see. Freddie, how's it going? Are you there?
I'm about to make the helicopter jump into the compound.
Okay.
Is it clear down there? Can you check the satellite
feed?
I'm just going.
Yeah, good luck.
Oh God! It did kill. Oh, the parachute did.
Hello, Freddy.
Oh, my God, Tom Cruise.
Welcome to my compound. It's me, Tom Cruise. It's great to meet you. I've heard so much about you. I'm bringing a lot of alpha male energy into this conversation we're having. I'm so intense. Making direct eye contact with you. It's Freddy. It's Freddy, right? What an interesting name. I hear you've got a movie to pitch to me.
I've broken every bone in my body, but I do want to compliment.
I've done that several times this morning and healed them all because I'm Tom Cruise.
Hey, Tom. I know that you just finished up Mission Impossible 6. Oh, it hurts so bad right now when I screwed up that jump. We're gonna.
Freddy, hold on. Let me heal you with my Scientology superpowers.
Oh my God, it actually worked. It actually worked. Scientology works, everybody. It actually worked. Tom, I'd like to pitch you Mission Impossible 7. Mission Impossible 2, Mission Impossible 7, the one where Naya comes back.
I'm interested. But would you mind jumping off of a helicopter with me as we do the pitch?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Whoa! All right, Freddy, give me it. You've got 20 seconds till we hit the ground. Give me the basics.
This one is a heist movie at smaller scale. You team back up with Naya for Mission Impossible 2. It's sexy as hell. And the stunt you do is you punch a man so hard he dies in real life. Okay.
Freddy, I'm really intrigued by this movie. I like the stunt idea of you me killing a man in one punch. Do you mind if I practice right now on you?
No, I'm going to deploy my chute now.
Freddy, call me. I'd really like to kill someone.
So, Freddy, how did it go as you float down into your apartment?
Hey, this is F. Dobbs checking in. It hurt a lot, but now I'm fine. Tom Cruise is really intense in person, but I think he's in. But we do need to find someone who's willing to die.
Hello, Freddy.
Oh, my God.
It's me. I followed you into the woods.
Oh, shit.
Are you ready to do our scene? Are you ready for our big stunt, Freddy?
No.
Well, it sounds like Freddy has got his hands full working out some issues with our lead actor.
Well, I think
Tom
we lost Freddy.
Hey, Freddy, did you get a chance to pitch Tom all that super complicated villain stuff that we spent a lot of time coming up with? Did you get a chance to pitch him our cryptocurrency idea?
Actually, I think that Tom said that he didn't have time because the World Cup was on.
All right, I guess we'll call it there.
This best part about this story break is the meta-narrative of Matt being an England fanboy and really wanting to see a little bit of football.
All right, well, what do we got this week from Art?
You guys got two treat this week. You got Thirsty Matt and you got Impatient Matt in one episode, and that's so rare to get both. I'm so happy.
No, we had a lot
everybody.
Of good stuff from
oh, let's hear it.
Smokey the Bear. Well, pull those good pictures.
All right, Matt, to answer your question, what did we get from Art? We got a ton of great fan art this week. As always, thanks you to everyone who submitted some stuff. And it just, again, it totally makes our day. Thanks, as always, to Ryan Brown at R. Alistair Brown for giving us a really cool, like, kind of like a wood-burned smoky print with the classic Bear With Me tagline.
Kind of going against the whole, you know, only you can prevent forest fires, Ryan. But you know what? I'm going to assume that you had all your fire safety stuff in place.
I thought it was a really classy, really simple poster. Dug that one quite a bit. Got another one from at Jordan Does TV for Smokey. This one's got kind of like an old school postcard type feel to it, which I thought was really cool. And then it's got the Burning Man statue doing a selfie and holding up a peace sign, which I thought was a very nice touch. So thank you, Jordan. Got another one from Fridley Sent, Matthew, who gave us the poster for Paddington, the Burning Man movie. Nice little call out to us never getting the name of Smokey the Bear.
Listen,
right?
if it's going to be a cuddly bear in a movie, it's going to be called Paddington. You're going to live with it, all right?
Okay, so thanks to Matthew for that. Got another drawing from 8. This one was actually for Guess Who. We didn't have time to put it in. It came in right under the wire after we'd already posted our story break episode. But 8 gave us a really cute drawing of the two main characters from Guess Who. Really wonderful. That one's definitely up on the Story Break Twitter as well. So thank you to 8. And then,
and also thank you for my Twitter avatar, which I'm using right now.
Oh my God, the Twitter avatar is so good.
Good.
Thank you. A big thank you this week to Nick Fegley for giving us our very first movie video game.
That's
adaptation.
Right, bitches.
Oh,
we got a tie-in movie game now with Story Break. We hit the big leagues, baby.
It was so good.
It's
very fun.
It's a very cute, very, very fun little video game adaptation of our B movie episode.
It's like a little mini RPG that's got like a little bit of, it's got like a little mini RPG story, and it's got like a little rhythm game and a little like flying game. It's very
so
funny.
Good. Go play yes. it. It's up on our Twitter. So you can check that out at Freddie. Well, I think we've got a special little
bit.
Yeah,
a little link. It's going to be at bit.ly/bmoviegame. BEEMOVIE game. Bmoviegame.
So yeah, that wraps it up for fan art this week. Thanks as well to everyone who's been leaving us reviews on iTunes, especially to Wesley Regan for suggesting this totally awesome episode idea.
Any chance we get to talk about Mission Impossible 2 is a good day in my book, so today was a good day. I got to talk about Mission Impossible 2 in a real way. Anyway.
It's very good.
And thanks to everybody who are following us on the @RJStoryBreak Twitter, where we post fan art and interact with all of you folks. And also thanks to MaximumFun.org for having us on their podcast network, head on to MaximumFun.org to check out all the other good podcasts on this network as well. And Cameron Covell for slicing and dicing our audio insanity. Okay. That's going to do it for us this week. I think it's time to wrap it up. Matt's got a football to watch. So until next week here on the BBC, always
on
football.
B.
B.
C.
That's their new slogan. Always on football.
BBC. Bye, everybody.
In celeb news this week, the hosts of Lady to Lady took a break from hanging with today's hottest comedians, actors, and writers to sell a sex machine. What'd they do with all that cash?
Rent a party bus to go to Magic Mike Live in Vegas, of course. All of this on the heels of a salacious sizzler session with Home Alone 4-star French Stewart.
Want to know what the f*** we're talking about?
Tune into Lady to Lady whenever, wherever you listen to podcasts. Can you keep a secret?